Continuing now with our coverage of the situation in Belgium, what does this attack mean? Is this attack something that would have required a lot of longstanding planning, or was it an off-the-shelf attack by ISIS that they would carry out at will? ISIS has now claimed responsibility for the bombs that killed more than two dozen and wounded 150 more. Belgian Prime Minister Charles Michel has called for solidarity, stating that the world must stand together against terrorists. But is Belgium a special case of vulnerability because of geography or because they have allowed security to be degraded over time in some way? I'm joined by Jack Berger, the research analyst at the Sufan Group. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
Is Belgium a special case?
Well, Belgium, as well as Paris, is a special case just because of the amount of foreign fighters that have traveled to Syria. Belgium has the highest per capita number of foreign fighters that have traveled to Syria. And it also has these neighborhoods where there's a high concentration of foreign fighters. Four of the attackers in Paris actually came from the same neighborhood, including Salah Abdeslam, who was captured last Friday.
And there was some talk by investigators that they were expecting a retaliatory strike, which leads me to believe that this is not just a neighborhood with some bad folks. This is an organized base inside of Belgium.
Well, the thing that you see with these kinds of terror networks is a lot of it is community-based. It's familial even. The problem with that is that it makes it very hard to track, and it also means that it can spread very quickly because it's person-to-person contact, which is much more influential on these people than being influenced over the internet, for example, being radicalized over the internet. And so neighborhoods like Molenbeek in Belgium is a special case because you have those familial ties, which makes it harder to intercept, makes it harder to stop the spread of radicalization.
So what do you do in that case? I mean, if it is the case that this arrest took place of Abdeslam, and then somebody went to work on the phone and said, okay, execute plan B. That means six people go to the airport strapped with explosives, four people to the railway station strapped with explosives. I mean, that's not a case of radicalization. That's a case of we're ready to go.
Right. And the problem is that we don't know exactly what the impetus for this attack was. We don't know whether it was retaliatory as revenge for the capture and the killing of another man, Mohammed Belkaid, who was in the apartment with Abdeslam, or whether this was a separate cell. They were being segmented from one another, and the order came from outside because they were afraid that Abdeslam would, in fact, cooperate with authorities. So in terms of how you respond, really all you can do is try to make sure that any of these leads, because, again, it's not that these suspects are unknown to authorities. It's simply that they have trouble tracking them down because they can dig into these neighborhoods. And so really working with the communities, really community-oriented policing and that kind of thing is really one of the best options for making sure that they can't stay within these communities for so long.
Although I'd be very dubious of Molenbeek's loyalty to Belgian authorities. I mean, who are you going to talk to? If it's that concentrated.
Sure. And it's always hard to question loyalty. You don't want to, dismiss a neighborhood as being traitorous to the nation. But certainly even when Abdeslam was captured, there were some who were celebrating the capture, but there were also some who were actively protesting. Abdeslam was shot. Belkaid was killed. And they were protesting, as we see in the U.S., police brutality. They felt that police interrogation tactics and raid tactics had been too brutal in the past, especially after the Paris attacks.
Jack, I want you to listen to this.
Sure.
We talked with Samuel Laurent, who's a Middle East analyst who's done a lot of work in London. And you're familiar with the descriptions of Somalia and Libya as places of a level of instability that means that ISIS and al-Qaeda essentially can operate freely there. Yemen is another example. Listen to this comparison he made on our program this morning.
Belgium has several factors that make it a highly vulnerable target. The first one is that this is a very weak politically speaking country. There has been undergoing major crisis in 2007-2010. It has weakened the security apparatus, the intelligence services, and therefore, to a much lesser extent, this is the same pattern than the one we saw in Libya, in Somalia, and in all those countries. So basically, it has become a hotbed for radical Islam.
I mean, he's saying in the shadow of the EU governance institutions, Belgium essentially amounts to a European failed state hotbed of Islamic radicalism.
I can't speak as much to the political crisis in Belgium, but you do look at a place like France, and the Paris attacks happened twice last year, where we don't consider France to be a failed state. However, they do have certain social issues that drive radicalization factors.
And people involved in the Paris attacks came from Belgium.
Yes, it was partly planned in Belgium. However, they still managed to hide out. Some of them were French nationals, so that the process started in France, and they certainly chose France for a reason.
I mean, the opportunistic level of development of a kind of terror infrastructure in Belgium really changes the game, it seems to me. I mean, I don't know what you do in the Molenbeek neighborhood. I mean, certainly the right wing, the Le Pens of the world, the Frege Petras of the world are going to be calling for, house to house expulsions.
Sure. And you certainly, even the Belgian authorities themselves have said that they're overwhelmed with the scale of the problem. So it means that they are asking for outside help. They're asking for more cooperation with European intelligence networks, especially those who are tracking fighters that are going back and forth from Syria. We've seen in the French case that is something that is happening, that fighters are able to move back and forth and carry out these attacks and set up cells. But again, you have to be careful that it's a balance between how hard you come down on certain neighborhoods, because the more that you alienate communities, it makes it even harder to infiltrate or to detect these cells as they lie in wait and eventually are able to carry out these kinds of attacks.
Well, an extraordinary dilemma faced not only by Belgium but by all of Europe. If this is the level of operational capability that exists within Belgium demonstrated by this attack. Jack Berger is the research analyst at the Sufan Group. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.